Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us again, everyone. Today, we are going to be dissecting the Dead Files episode Devil's Triangle, which is from season 11. It's episode 9, and it originally aired September 5th, 2019. And the short little travel channel synopsis, that is Steve and Amy travel to Pittsburgh to investigate paranormal activity in a tattoo parlor where artists and customers fear for their safety. On her night walk, Amy encounters a group of malicious demons who are set on collecting souls. Megan, do you want to tell the people what we're warning them about today?
I would love nothing more than to tell you beautiful listeners what we're warning you about today. So far, we have suicide and depression, but you never know what we're going to talk about, you know, throughout the show. So please check the show notes before listening if you are worried about specific things that we did not mention, because Amy will always throw any additional content warnings into those show notes.
There's one other. Bipolar disorder is kind of thrown about almost jokingly at times by one person.
Yep, that's true. Mm.
Who could that be?
We'll find out.
We'll get there.
Stay tuned.
All right.
I do want to say one thing cool in the housekeeping, Amy, because we have our Wantable ads out right now.
Yes, we do.
I happen to see in my emails, one of the Wantables that came through for the, it's like cowgirl summer or country girl summer or something
that.
Your dress, the green dress that you have, was one of the ones that was in the ad.
Really?
So it was somebody wearing, you know, jean shorts and then having that as like a top and then a kind of like a duster cape.
I've seen that picture. Yeah. And I saw that Wantable put that picture in one of the ads on Facebook, and all the comments were like, oh my God, I want that dress. I want that dress. How do I get that dress? And I was like, I got that dress.
You're like,
I mean, just saying.
Reach out to me.
I got that dress. I will sell it to you for $12 million. Okay. I love that dress. I've already worn it 3 times.
It's super cute.
I love it.
It's a great really color, cute. Too.
Yeah. It's a really nice color. I love it. I love it.
I wore my Poppy blazer today, and my boss, he was running to another meeting. He goes, nice jacket.
I love it. It's such a good color.
It's
fun.
Yeah. Okay. So should we jump right in?
Yep.
Ready for the, Amy's going to read us a dramatic reading of the overview. You don't have to be dramatic unless you want to.
We all know I'm dramatic. I'm going to be dramatic.
Okay, good.
All right. Steve, Amy, and Matt take us to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this week to a tattoo shop that, well, is having some experiences. I mean, why else would they be here? Steve starts us off with, it's an old building and all hell's broken loose. Amy continues with, I'm literally hearing the devil's triangle. Strong starts all around. We meet Diane, the shop owner and the person who called in the Dead Files. She's concerned that her customers, artists, and husband are being affected by something in the air. It seems to have all started when they did some renovations. We have all the classic signs of a haunting. Disembodied voices, seeing things from the corner of their eye, being touched, high anxiety, which seems to be a key word in this episode, depression, things being thrown about, and mood swings. I think every box is checked for this one. We then meet Shannon, Diane's business partner, who shares similar feelings to Diane. However, Josh, when we meet him, Diane's husband, he's a little different story. Having been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, he jokes about being the same crazy asshole and doesn't believe anything is abnormal. I don't really believe all that. Steve goes through a montage of tough tattoo artists as well to hear what they are seeing and feeling. As we jump back and forth, we hear Amy talking about a set of three demons. They came here to collect a soul and never left. We learn they like to cause chaos and sometimes get bored, so fires sound like a great idea to not be bored anymore. We also hear about a couple of men, one who believes he was part of a sacrifice, one who is warning people away, and one who is the reason for all of this, because he sold his soul. Steve's investigation takes us back in time to the late 1800s, where we meet George Bennett, a real piece of work, who kills a man, takes his own dad and brother to the cleaners, and one who seems to be out for fame and fortune, it seems, including selling his soul to the devil. Then we meet John Stacks, a police officer in the late 1800s who may have been a bit of a maybe not great dude. He leaves a bar after lunch that he never paid for, gets jumped by the bartender and a couple other men, and his spirit seems to be kind of stuck, not knowing exactly what's going on. Amy sees him outside a lot. Lastly, we meet Hank Miller, a man of power and note in the early 1900s. He seems to be a bit shady in his business deals and goes bankrupt in the 1920s. He dies of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, leaving his wife and son in a mess. His spirit seems confused about his death and that maybe he was influenced or part of a sacrifice. At the reveal, Diane and Shannon hear from Amy, and it's brought up that Josh has severe mood swings that seem to escalate with some of the activity. Amy notes that the demons are looking for seeds of darkness that already exist in people. We don't get a lot of new information for once in this one, but we do see Steve say again, that's a little to go off of when it seems like Amy read his notes to him. So Amy tells them, here's what you got to do. First thing you got to do is you got to get a strong male medium to get the crazy guy and the crying man out of here. Then you're going to do weekly cleansings for 3 months, then monthly for a year. This will not take care of the demons and they will always be there, unfortunately. Thankfully, they're not interested in the people that are here today. So as long as they're not interested in you, they're not going to do anything. Josh needs to stay out until the crazy and crying guys are gone and the activity will be different. Shannon wants to stay and Diane says they will follow all the advice. So do they follow the advice? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues.
Very nice.
So kind of a fun start. I don't know. You all notice the ring shot right off the bat that we see with Steve as he's coming in. Like,
yeah,
I swear opening scenes are typically, obviously it's usually Steve in the car, but it's mm-hmm. within the first 30 seconds that mm-hmm. you're going to see a ring shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always, always.
And I put in here too that he's talking about, well, she opened up a tattoo parlor in an old building. Yeah, Steve, like most people don't go and build a new building just for a tattoo parlor or a tattoo shop or something like that.
Right. Well, and that's a pretty old city. So mm-hmm. yeah, Pittsburgh's a pretty old city. So a lot of their architecture is probably pretty old.
Going to be old.
Yep.
I also noted how super strong his accent was in the beginning.
Yes. I felt like this whole episode mm-hmm. it was.
Yeah. Because he was back in the New England area, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, in that Northeast area.
Maybe that brings it out.
But I was like, damn.
Yeah, I just kind of said, Steve, your biases are showing when he talked about the tattoo crowd being a tough crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess sometimes they are. I mean, yeah. They're
but not all just because yeah. they're tattoo artists doesn't mean they're automatically like these.
Or people coming in and getting tattoos and stuff, too. I know. Right. I just the way he says, like, they're real tough dudes and, you know, they've got to be something's yeah. really going on if they're yeah. going to be.
If they're scared, you know it's bad.
Look, I know the tattoo crowd.
Yeah.
Do you? You know every single person.
Do you, Steve? Do you? But yeah, I mean, we all have tattoos. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say any of us are tough.
No.
But
not even a little.
No. But
yeah, I just was like, okay. Well, I mean, your category is in a whole group with one baseline, and they're a little bit more dynamic than that, is what I have to say.
That is,
but sure, let's group everybody together in one,
mm-hmm. yeah,
one stereotypical sentence.
Yep,
because that never goes wrong.
Oh yeah. No, can never go wrong with that.
No,
I noticed in the beginning when Amy first gets there that she says there's something bad here. I'm like, I feel like, especially in the ones we've done recently, she says that a mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to be called most of the time if there's a good thing there.
Like, I know, but I just think it's funny that she's not yeah. like, oh, here we go again. It's yeah. like, it's yeah. bad. It's like, Amy, it was bad yesterday.
Yeah.
It'll be bad tomorrow.
Jinx.
Well, I also really liked Matt's, like, you know, going, I've got to cover up everything. It's really hard to cover up a tattoo parlor yeah. for her not to know what it is. Like, isn't that with every business that you go pretty through? Much. Like, you can pretty much tell if it's a restaurant or if it's mm-hmm. going to be a library. Like,
yeah. like a bookshop.
Or a movie. Theater. Oh, what's that concession stand for?
Yeah. You
know? I smell popcorn.
Or the one in Arizona was when it was the shop. Like you kind of knew.
Metaphysical shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not in there going, is this a Michaels? What am I? Yeah. What is this?
Is this Hobby Lobby?
No. Yeah.
And I, yeah.
We do not go to the Hobby Lobby.
No, we do not go to the Hobby Lobby.
We do not
go
to the lobby of hobbies.
No.
I don't have enough hobbies for anything.
My hobbies are not contained in a store. So.
I just have one really expensive hobby, but I don't go to the lobby for it.
That's no way to talk about your child.
He's a job. He's not a hobby.
Where do you go for your hobby?
Michael's, or sometimes if I need beads, I'll go to this local store called Storm Cloud Trading Company, and they have really good beads in St. Paul, right off Snelling.
Oh, okay.
I like them a lot.
I wasn't sure what hobby you were referring to, so I was just wondering if it was going to be like the guy in the street corner, or if it was going to be...
Not that one.
Okay, different one.
That's got recreation.
Got it. There's so many categories.
Honestly, I'm a well-rounded person.
You are. Absolutely.
Yeah. I noted in this episode that even though Amy says there's a lot of like stuff that's bad going on, we've seen some episodes like last week's where she almost has like that like scare in her voice, where this one she's like, well, shit, here we go again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's like, great. They're starting with the thing that is the title, the Devil's Triangle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, AP, I know you said you saw a lot of synchronicities between the last episode we did and this one. I didn't really see them, even though I was sort of looking for them, because you had said that before I watched it, until there was one that came up later in, and we'll get there. But I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she starts off strong with the demons.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which was in both episodes.
Yep.
And then we have, you know, in this case, we have the triangle of them. But yeah, it was the demons. There's just a lot of different things that I was like, okay, yep, that's another one. Yep, there's another one. There's like three or four of them that.
Yeah.
It's just really odd that we pick episodes randomly. Megan picked last week's episode. I picked this week's episode. We had no idea what they were when we picked them.
Right.
And then as I go through it, I'm like, man, this is very like in line with what was going on last week too.
Well, it's like with season 15, everything was portals and other things I can't remember because I don't have a good memory, but portals and, you know, it was like the same stuff over and over again, which I get having.
Portals and poltergeists and,
oh my.
Oh my.
Which I get having a theme, but it's like, I don't know.
Well, and these were in different seasons though, because last week was season 8, this is season 11. So it was completely random, but if you were to, like, if you analyze and picked it apart, it'd be like, oh, you guys knew that these things were coming up. No, we didn't. Don't give us that much credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Exactly. Like AP said, we are not organized. I don't know if you can tell.
Amy is.
Amy is. She's got the Excel spreadsheets. I'm just like, what should we do? And I throw a dart on a wall and I'm like, let's do this episode.
When it was just me and Megan, where we'd be starting to record and I'm like, do you know which episode you're going to do next week? She's like, nope.
Yep.
So then she would like Google something while we were like recording. And then she's like, okay, I got it.
And then Amy was over there silently seething, like, you're killing me, Smalls.
I mean, I don't care. I don't whatever. As long as you don't pick one we've already done. But, you know, I have a spreadsheet with all of the ones that we've already done. Apparently, I updated it today. I spent a lot of time doing all of that today, but apparently I missed one that we have coming up. Anyway, but I think it might be fun in the future, when we're not doing a series and we're just trying to, you know, wing it, I'll have the spreadsheet up. We can get like a little, you know,
bingo
spinner or whatever, spin some numbers in there or roll dice or something and be like, season, boom, episode, boom. We did that.
Ooh.
Megan and I did that with our Alexa. When in the beginning we were like, okay, let's just ask Alexa for a number between 1 and 14 or however many seasons were out at that time. And then she'd pick a number and then we would go, okay, another number between 1 and however many episodes were in that season. And then we'd have to check it against
the science.
But we've done so many more episodes now that we're going to have to, we really have to check against that. But I think it'd be fun to kind of Russian roulette it sometime too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, swinging us back around to where we're at. Because we're so far into the episodes.
3 minutes and 39 seconds from what I can tell.
So we meet our client, Diane. And of course, Steve starts off with, well, when we spoke on the phone, Diane, you seem pretty upset about things.
What's going on?
No, she was happy, Steve. She's like, oh my God, hi,
Steve. She just wanted to meet Steve. And she didn't want to pay the $10,000.
I love the artwork on the walls that were behind her and all the stuff that they have in there, which we later find out that they've had to screw down the paintings in the building.
Because they fly off the walls.
But I also said she kind of gives off the pinup-y style vibes just with like the way her hair was and just kind of that
I love
atmosphere.
That.
And I love, I just, yeah.
And like her porcelain skin, it was
and the bright red hair, lips.
And yeah, she was banging. She was on it.
And Shannon too, both of those.
Oh, her hair was so cute. Gorgeous.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Love.
They're both adorable.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, for sure. And as I said earlier, what was our catalyst for the activity picking up?
The construction. Oh, the
construction, yeah. As always.
Is that on a bingo card?
It should be.
When we expanded things, and I said it's always the construction that starts it because
we had that in our house. We had a room that we needed to, I don't remember exactly what needed to be done. I think if I remember right, we had a leak in the ceiling and it got water damage all over the room. So we had to have like all the walls pulled out and all put back. And it was, you know, we were living above our means. We couldn't afford to do the whole thing in one go. So we started it and then we had to save some money to finish it. We had to block off that room. Like we had a zipper door in that room.
In the old house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the old Victorian house. And that's when things started picking up at our house too.
Yeah.
And that was the room that was always active after that.
Yeah.
Yep. They don't like it when you mess with their shit.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. I don't blame them.
Especially when you throw things off. And like I said before, we got all the classic things. Mood swings. So this was one thing that I also noted with the last one is that we don't always hear mood swings. We often hear depression and anxiety. But in this one, it was extreme mood swings. Well, we were seeing that with the son in the last episode, too.
Yep.
Remember,
yep.
He would just go back to his bedroom because that's where he cry. Put up his boundaries.
Yep. Yep. Right.
But this one was having, the terrible mood swings, which seems to be impacting specifically the husband.
Yep.
In this case.
Yep.
Which we find out that he struggled with mental health and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you know, just like we saw with the ones last week, like the kids who have, you know, something, you know, extra about them going on seems to be the ones that get picked on, or in a lot of these episodes that we've seen are somebody who's got a chink in the armor. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are getting attacked more.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Amy say that these
seeds of
demons,
darkness,
entities, they pick on people who have mental illness or addiction, and he had both. So
which they only mentioned in the reveal. They only mentioned his addiction then.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep. So there was a little bit of new stuff added in at the end of that, but not like significant story. Mm-mm. But she called it Seeds of Darkness because I caught that. I was like, ooh, that'd be a good episode title.
I like that. Yeah.
And overall, there was a lot of stuff that was going on, but not a lot of like out there crazy things when he was talking with Diane, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like it was run of the mill and she was awesome. But she also didn't, I love this, she didn't play into some of his comments.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't.
Like I had it somewhere. I can't remember what it was that he was saying. And I'm like, yep, she's not playing into his like games of like, oh, is it like this? Oh, it was something with the plumbing, which was another.
Another
connection.
Yeah. And she was like, I know what the plumbing sounds like.
Yeah. She's like, yes, it is an old building.
It's a distinct sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve. Yeah. And I like that she wasn't like, we didn't get the extreme. If you can help me, my marriage will crumble or my business will close. She's just like, we love it. Like, this is our passion, our love. We want it to succeed. Please help us.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that, too. Like, we weren't like, I'm going to die. It's like, no, this shit's happening and we want to fix it. But not dire.
Although I think they were mostly worried about Josh. Both of the ladies, I think, were mostly worried about Josh, Diane's husband, because of his anger.
His girls and his. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I caught on that, too. It's like when we meet Shannon, I was just like, oh, Shannon seems like I was like, maybe she's not quite as worried as Diane, or is it just because the cameras are there? So she's got like a little bit like, you know, people change when there's a camera put in front of them a little bit.
Sure.
But then as soon as she started talking about Josh, that's when it was like, mm-hmm. yeah, I can see him be totally different. Mm-hmm. And she says something along the lines of, if I would have known that this is what he would turn into, I would not have become a business partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they've been partners for 5 years.
Yeah.
So if I do the math, they said they started the renovations like 2 years after they got into that space. So it's been happening for 3-ish years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else in that kind of first part when we meet Diane, Shannon? I know we've got Amy walking through and kind of, you know, giving her updates on things. But then it's when they start cutting back and forth between her and the stories is when we start to tie in. Because I think there was like three gentlemen that she talks about. Mm-hmm. And I kept getting confused on who the crying guy was and the one who was trying to warn them about, you know, like getting out. Were they the same person or was that there was the crazy guy? But it was like three entities.
They all kind of meshed together when...
Mm-hmm.
When
there was the guy in the coffin
to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like one. And then there was one who kind of was.
I think that was
the guy in the coffin.
She does the sketch of.
Yeah. The guy in the coffin was George Bennett.
Yes.
He was the one who sold his soul.
I think the crying guy was Henry, the guy who went bankrupt and committed suicide.
Died by suicide. Yep.
Yeah. I think that was him. And.
And the crazy guy, I think, was. But I think she used crazy guy to talk about both the guy in the dead guy in the coffin and what we assume was the Warner. Yes. Stax, who was the one who was beat up. No, I think the person who was mourning, though, was the one that was crying because he felt like he was the sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
he was
telling her to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why it gets so confusing because they were all very similar and they were all about the same time frame and they were all similar.
Men and there's really nothing obviously stuff to distinguish them. But
they all had a form of power at some point. But it sounds like, you know, like the police officer guy was Amy. I think you put in there something about like there was some of this stuff seemed like it came up when I was doing the research with Kid Can too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. the mob
connections.
When Stax was killed by the police officer that for not paying for his oysters was killed by the
people. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me, but that is the weirdest thing to get for lunch.
Greg would do it in a heartbeat. I can't eat them. They're nasty.
Like
in Pittsburgh in the 1800s.
You know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pop in. Bob's going to get a burger. I'm going to shuck a few oysters and then we'll go back and hit the streets. Like, what? Maybe it's just me because I don't like seafood, but I just feel like that's super weird.
I also thought it was odd.
It is. It's not a very filling lunch. Oysters they're just little tiny things. You know, you can't you could get full on them, but you're going to be eating like a whole table full of them.
You got to eat an ocean full of oysters.
That's right. An ocean full of oysters. Maybe that's
oysters.
A good name.
Oysters.
Oysters. But that whole thing reminded me of not just Kid Can, but there was in the 90s, it was when I met Greg. So it would have been like 92.
Romance is in the air.
Not in this story. I guess I could tell this part of the story, but I was babysitting and Greg came to stay with me or, you know, come to the house and, you know, hang out and stuff.
Hi, I wasn't babysitting. I was house sitting. I misremembered this part of the story. I used to babysit for this family a lot, but the time that Greg came to visit, I was just house sitting. There was not a child there, just in case anybody's worried about that.
And on his way there, there was all this police traffic sort of near the house, not really near it, but on the way to it. And he was like, some shit's going down over there. And it was like, or maybe it was when he drove home. It must have been when he drove home because it was like 11 o'clock at night. And
so late.
I know. We don't stay up till 11 o'clock anymore.
No.
But it turns out that was when the police officer named Jerry Hoth was shot at the pizza place. Do you guys know this story?
No, I was 7.
Oh, okay.
1992. I was 8.
Okay.
So no, it's a little before our time.
But it's a pretty famous story in the city. I thought maybe you would have heard it. Anyway, there was this police officer, Jerry Hawk, who was murdered at, like, he was just sitting there having his pizza. Mm-hmm. And some people came in and shot him, killed him. And it ended up being mob related. And
I didn't know we had mob in the cities.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess now I do because I listen about Kid Can. That's, yeah.
That was in the 30s, but.
Oh, we had, yeah, we had massive ties in the 20s and 30s with a lot of activity.
Oh, we had Dillinger was here.
Yeah, Dillinger was arrested in Stillwater.
Mm. Oh. Yep. Al Capone was here. Yeah.
And they have one of Dillinger's firearms.
Al Capone was here with his syphilis?
He probably didn't bring it with him. He left that at home.
He left it at home.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I got my shirts. I got my cigar. I'm going to leave my syphilis in the, drawing room. And then I'll pick that up when I get home.
Yeah.
No, we have a pistol that is the same make, model, and year that Dillinger was known to be using.
Really?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And my dad came in to, he bought it from someone like 50 years ago. 40, 50 years ago, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And dad was on the police force during the time that Dillinger would have been arrested.
Hmm.
The dad of whoever my dad bought the stuff from.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a coworker. It wasn't a dirty deal. It was
The
70s or 80s, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Interesting.
So,
all right.
We can't say for sure, but we do know that it is along those lines.
Cool.
Yeah.
Drinks. Amy, we are so connected today.
Speaking of all the mob stuff, this was the other thing that I saw that I was like, good for you, Diane. You didn't play a deceived thing. He's like, did you feel like you were getting mugged?
Yeah.
How did that feel? I'm like, does anybody know how it feels to be mugged if they haven't been mugged before?
I mean, yeah, hopefully.
Well, that's when she was talking about how she was tattooing somebody and her sweatshirt got pulled.
No, that was Shannon. That was Shannon her sweatshirt pulled. Yeah. Diane was talking about a dark shadow came up from behind her.
That's right.
As she was walking towards the staircase and it followed
her. Sorry. I got confused.
It's okay. We've been jumping around a little bit. But Diane, he's just like, do you feel like you were about to get mugged? I mean, how did it feel? And she's like, I mean, it felt menacing and it told me to get out. But it's like, Steve, that's not a comparison people can relate to.
Unless they've been mugged.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's, again, he just leads them. I mean, it pisses me off. Like, you are a police detective. You know not to, or I would hope, you know not to ask these leading questions to them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it just made me annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
just makes me so annoyed.
That's a cop for you.
It's a Steve for you.
Yeah, old school.
So I want to make sure that we talk about you know who.
Oh, our buddy.
Are we there yet?
Almost.
Idiot. I hate it.
Okay. I was just saying that when there was one of the spirits that was Megan put in here about wanting to get physical.
Physical.
When Amy starts, she's like hearing things. He's stomping around and throwing things. I was like, so he's a child throwing a tantrum? Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was yelling to get out.
Oh, I just, anytime I can insert some Olivia Newton-John in our eps, I'm going to do it.
And I'm very happy for that. I love her.
Okay, we can probably jump to, we've kind of talked through Shannon and it was with the conversation where he's asking about Josh and he starts asking Shannon like, well, do you think he's just an asshole or what?
It's like, just why do you think he's acting like this? Full stop. That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, do you think he's being influenced or is he just an asshole?
I will say I don't mean to like defend Steve. Steve, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes when you're interviewing someone and the remember Wendy, the mom from last week, you ask her a question, it was
No. But these weren't that.
No.
They weren't.
I wonder if like he asked the question and he asked it like the way Megan suggested and then the woman didn't give everything and so the producer said Steve asked it a different way, and then he asked it that way. Who knows?
I would go with you on that if we didn't have seasons of episodes in the same manner.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely.
I like your thought process, though.
Just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I do think that he does. He does ask leading questions a lot. And that's his that's what cops do. That's
well, and, I mean, look at when the time that he came up through, if he went through academy or whatever he went through too, in the time of all of that.
Because he's my
30
age.
Years ago. Yeah.
So he would have gone through in the 80s.
90s.
Or 80s.
Or 80s. I don't know. I don't 80s. Know how old you are. You're 40 to me.
I wish I was 40.
Can we get to Josh? Because I couldn't stand him.
Oh, my God.
He was such an asshole. Like,
well,
just
he even said he was,
prick.
But still. When he said that, like, oh, no, I'm just the same asshole I've always been.
I noted... to like he couldn't even look at Steve.
No,
I have
like,
that too.
He was looking at least from what they cut it. He was always looking off to the side, looking at the ground, which then makes looking you wonder up. Like, was he being influenced at that time?
Maybe
when you know he's in there. Of course, if he doesn't already believe in that sort of stuff. But I also noted, I'm like, Steve's body language was starting to get pretty like hostile, defensive. Yeah.
His arms came up and crossed. Yep.
And it was like he was getting further back in his chair where normally he kind of leans in because you lean in when you're engaging.
And
he was leaning back and it was almost like he was like, why are we here? And then
he even calls him on it. He's like, you annoyed we're here?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, kind of.
I noted that Josh was very shifty-eyed. I said he was looking everywhere except Steve.
Yeah. He probably didn't like being interrogated.
Probably because he's a douche.
Yeah. Well, he's I've been the same asshole for a long time.
Yeah. You know,
which it feels to me like that's like so dismissive of his own mental illness. Like he's trying to play it off like it's funny or it's cute, which it's neither.
Like, I'm just an asshole. Like that's who I am. You either accept it or you leave. And it's like, you're not just an asshole, though.
No.
Like you've been diagnosed with a disorder.
Yeah.
And you need to address that.
Yeah. And then also, maybe something else is at play here. It's not all just his mental illness, but he doesn't want to believe in that. He's a skeptic. He doesn't, I don't believe in any of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My guess is Josh is more like, I don't want to, I'm going to just claim it and say I'm an asshole because the alternative is believing that something else is fucking with me other than my own mental illness. And I am not willing to go that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely can see that. It's just the way that he kind of went with the, well, I've always been like this. Yeah. I've always been an asshole. It's like, okay, if that's your persona or the way you picture your persona, wouldn't you want to like, maybe not?
No, because like, some people think it's great.
Yeah.
Like they relish in it. They're like, I'm a prick.
It's a defense mechanism too.
To me though, that this is where Steve's bias about the tattoo, you know, the big tough tattoo guys, like that's where this comes in, because I feel like Josh plays into that. Whereas even when we see Steve interviewing the guys who have the massive face tattoos and the big eyeliner and everything, I get more of like the like it's a front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you get past that layer, like they're just big softies.
Yeah. Probably are.
But I don't know. I just did not like Josh at all. I thought he was just a prick.
Yeah.
And, you know, then when we hear like some of the things that may be influencing him. So right before that, Amy describes the demons and what they look like. And
I hated that. Jinx.
It was terrible.
And I'm going to run that in through the AI and see what it comes up with.
Yes.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Hopefully better than last week's with the weird hands.
I feel like she said there was three of them, but then she only really described two of them. So I wonder if there was two of the little ones and one of the bigger ones. Because she describes even when I'm looking at it.
She only drew two, though. In the sketch, there was only two, right?
I know, but she said there were three.
There was three, but one of them had no features. In the sketch, I saw three, but only two had really...
Oh, I only remember two.
Well, two of them looked like they were being carried by the scruff by the big one.
But the only two of them had features. The third one was just in the kind of in the corner, like just existing.
Oh, I missed.
Yeah.
It. Okay.
And, you know, and those things came to collect the soul of the guy who sold his soul, which I was like, how does one sell their soul so the rest of us can avoid doing that? Like,
yeah.
you know, we always, you get people that are joking like, oh, I'd sell my soul for a blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, what, obviously, when we hear his life story, mm-hmm. the synopsis that we get of it, it's like, yeah, he killed someone, got away with it. He went into business with his family, made a lot of money, and then kicked them all out. And basically, he did everything. You know, it's kind of that classic tale that you see in movies almost and like, things. Like,
yeah.
Like, you get a little kinda Ebenezer like Scrooge. Yeah. You get a little Ebenezer Scrooge before he realizes that he doesn't need to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. You get, you know, those Mr. Burns from Simpsons, like mm-hmm. all of those things where you're just, it's kind of like, they get to the top and then they're like, I have everything mm-hmm. except friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously he didn't care.
No, he had money. That's all. And even I think it was Amy who said all he wants was money. That's yeah. all mm-hmm. he wanted in yeah. life.
Yeah.
Was money.
That was his main life goal.
And that's why he sold his soul.
Yeah.
Now, the second part of this where we want to talk about all of Steve's investigation. So where did Steve bring us?
Yeah.
Steve brought us around to a few different people and we hear from Professor Rhea Redd. And I know, Megan, you said you've got some clippings or something that you saw in the clippings on that.
Yeah, I took a screenshot of the article because, you know, I didn't take a screenshot. I wrote it down with my notes. That's how I write stuff down.
With your fingers like that?
Yep, my fingers just like this. Cool. And the newspaper article. So this was when talking about how George Bennett got into a bar fight and killed somebody. Basically, he punched him. The guy hits his head, died mm-hmm. of his injury. The newspaper article wrote, a quote, arrest of George H. Bennett for the murder of Sebastian Brown. Coroner's inquest. Testimony as to the quarrel. And he was acquitted.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Found not yeah. guilty by virtue of self-defense, which I'm like, was it self-defense?
So to give a little bit of background that goes into this, George Bennett opened the bar in 1868. So he was the bar runner. So obviously something happened with this patron
mm-hmm.
In 1876. And it says the patron swings first. So is it, you know, like, is it in the evening? This guy's been drinking all day and yeah. now he's... You know, George already had a, you know, it sounds like he already had a temper and an mm-hmm. issue. So this guy maybe doesn't pay his tab or yeah. has something that goes on similar to one of the stories that we have kind of alluded to already.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of the like, is he antagonizing him
exactly
to get him to swing first?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
to claim self-defense.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't sound like the intention was to kill this person, but it was no. to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Because punched him and he fell and hit his head.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of these stories. We've seen a few of these in the last decade in the Twin Cities area here. Yeah. There's one in Mankato where somebody has a traumatic brain injury from that because got into a fight outside of a bar at mm-hmm. closing. Mm-hmm. He walked away, but the person kept coming.
Mm-hmm. Plus, George wasn't a great person to begin with.
Yeah. So, but you could give, you could give a benefit of the doubt at the beginning. Self-defense plea. I mean, it's the 1870s and he was relatively well off, right? Mm-hmm. Then he goes into business with his family and he decides, I mean, he's an alcohol distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And then sees green.
Yep.
Right. They showed a picture of the ad and I thought it was such a cool, like the artwork on that ad for his business mm-hmm. was so cool. It was like that old timey swirly uh-huh.
yeah.
art stuff. And I noticed on there, it said the address is 103 Smithfield Street. That is the exact address of the tattoo parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he said that the bar opened two blocks away from the tattoo parlor.
Was the ad for the bar or was it for the manufacturing business?
Well, maybe it was for the manufacturing. Yeah, maybe it was.
Didn't
right.
he build the 8-story
yeah,
building?
He did. Yeah.
He built the 8-story building where the parlor is today.
The parlor is now.
Yep. They didn't really make a connection that his business went into the building.
Yeah. No, they just said he opened the bar two blocks away. And I was like, but the address on there is the same place.
Yeah. He opened the bar earlier. And then when he went into business with his family and then they made, what was it? The equivalent of $2.3 million in a year.
Yeah. 1 year. Holy shit.
And then he like kicked them out and he built the, he had the, yeah, they had the building and everything. So mm-hmm. I think he had the building built for his distribution yes. business. And then also yep. to be a landlord of any other.
Yeah, because Rhea said he bought the client's property in 1891 and put an 8-story building on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So just interesting. And then
pushed his whole family out.
Yeah. He just sounds like an awful person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then he died at the age of 63 in yep. 1912, which is the same year the Titanic sank.
Yep.
That's right.
3 months earlier, though, he died.
Yeah, that it sank in April.
Yeah.
And I noticed I zoomed in on the certificate, the death certificate, and it said his cause of death is hemiplegia. I had never heard of that.
Hemi is going to be blood related. Yeah.
So I looked at it, I Googled it, and it is a hemiplegia. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It's a symptom that involves one-sided paralysis. Hemiplegia affects either the right or the left side of the body, and it happens because the brain or spinal cord injuries and because of brain or spinal cord injuries and conditions. Mm-hmm. Depending on the cause, hemiplegia might be temporary or permanent. Some causes of hemiplegia are treatable or even reversible. So I'm not sure how that can be a cause yeah. of death.
So hemo would have been blood. Hemi, this is like the hemi of the spheres of the brain, is my guessing. Mm-hmm. Because the way that it's describing in that,
it sounds more like brain.
Yeah. Does that go along into stroke category?
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it.
Well, you take over leading for a second and I'll dig up and see if I can dig up any more information on it.
Okay. One other thing I noticed is that on the death certificate, it says his date of birth was May 20th, 2000 or 1912, which is the same year he died.
I would question if it was 2000.
But it wasn't 2000. I mean, it wasn't 1912 either because that's the year he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here's a little bit. Hemiplegia is often caused by brain injury, such as a stroke, traumatic brain injury, or brain tumors, and can be caused by congenital causes as well. Trauma, tumors, brain and nervous system, infections, genetic disorders, brain lesions, brain diseases, or psychological conditions. So, you know, he wouldn't have been able to care for himself. He could have mm-hmm. fallen out of bed and suffocated or drowned in his own fluids of his own lungs.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. Because I also saw when I was looking that up, it said like hemi something migraine. So it is affecting the one side of the brain. So left would affect right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Good catch on that because I didn't catch that at all.
I like to stop and zoom in on stuff if I can read it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't.
Yeah, there's hemiplegic migraine, which is a rare type of migraine that causes motor weakness on one side of the body, including with an aura. Ugh. I hate migraines. I'm glad I don't have that.
Well, you have migraines. You just don't have
I have migraines. I don't have that kind of migraine.
Right, right.
So I think we can all just say that he's not a great person.
Right.
Nope.
He was not a great person in life. He was not. He does not seem to be a great person in death because he brought those demon things there. And it's like he made a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm. Which is literally what happened.
And those demon things don't seem to ever want to leave.
Mm-mm. Well, why would they? They have a playground. Yep. They can just do whatever they want. Well, nobody's there to keep them in check.
Exactly, because we find out about the building that he built burns down in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And the inspectors and fire department all believe that it is arson, but they cannot find a cause. Oh, and then we cut to Amy, who's like, I smell smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I see like, oh, they burned it down. And like, I think Matt asks another question, like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, they got bored.
Yeah.
They're bored. They just decided to burn it down. Like,
and she's like, these demon things are bad. And I'm like, well, are there ever good demon things?
Just the one that sits on my shoulder and, you like, know.
Have that extra drink.
There's never like, oh, my God, it's the demon. I'm excited to see you. Hey, what's up? You know, like, come on.
Well, yeah. As I was thinking about this, as she's like the gray, thick smoke and all that stuff, I'm like, you know. This kind of, when she's talking about these demons getting bored, it's kind of like when you have really smart kids in class who are too far advanced for mm-hmm. what's going on and they just get bored. Like, I remember one of my high school English teachers, she told us about when she was younger because she was in the, quote, gifted programs. And she's like, they didn't really have a gifted program, so they just sat us out in the hallway with another book to get us further along.
Oh,
she's
no.
like, we would get so bored. And yeah, she's like, we would, you know, I would break all the crayons in a box of crayons. Like, I would, and you know, just things that were destructive because it was entertaining at that point, because it was getting her brain to do stuff that wasn't being challenged. So these demons is how I connected to that. So obviously you can tell I have children. So Steve then goes over to talk to another retired cop, Bob Laporte, which I had to rewind this a couple times. And I was like, is he saying 1872 or 1972? Because having a retired officer come and share this information just seemed like it was closer. But no, it was 1872.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I have 1872, April 24th, 1872.
Yep. And this is our dear friend Stacks. John Stacks with the oysters.
The oyster cops.
So weird.
Yeah. But I will say,
so weird.
The names of the people who killed him, I was like, there's Henry Bender, William Coker, and Samuel Golden. I was like, what
like,
names?
This is like, that sounds like a joke.
It's
Bender, Coker, and Golden walk into a bar where a man's eating oysters.
Stacks, and then Stacks leaves.
It sounds to me like a law firm.
It sounds like the plot to a movie.
Call Bender, Coker, and Golden when you eat bad oysters.
All three of these stories could be put right into one movie, I feel like, and they'd all be like parts of the same plot. It would just be one person trying to connect all of it together.
The connection could be the lawyer trying to defend everybody.
There you go.
The lawyer defending George, and then the lawyer defending Bender, Coker, and Golden.
There you go.
Et al. Esquire.
Sounds like mob stuff, and the cop was a power-hungry dude.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I did note that when they found the article, when I zoomed in on it, like I like to do, it said that his death, that he was found outside the saloon in an insensible condition with his skull fractured. And then he died 2 days later.
I would say that'd probably be an insensible.
I've never heard the term insensible to mean near death, like or dead already. No, he died 2 days later. Sorry.
Yeah.
But when you have your skull fractured, I can imagine that you don't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. Yeah. It makes me think of the Dead Fells. Nope. We're talking about the Dead Fells. The Walking Dead.
That's very different.
Those are two really different things.
It ties together, you guys. Just stay with me here.
I know it will.
Is it because they both say dead in it?
It's true.
Does it have anything to do with you peeing yourself?
No, not today. No pee today.
Okay.
It's a good day.
It's a good day.
So there's an episode where, spoilers, if you haven't seen The Walking Dead, which I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you haven't, there's spoilers. So Negan comes in and bashes Glenn's head in, and he doesn't die right away. And he's kind of mumbling and like, it's really horrific, but maybe that's what they mean.
That sounds like it. It sounds exactly like it.
I gave up on that show after a couple of seasons when there was no hope for anything. And I'm like, how do these things keep like having superhuman strength and speed and everything when they're falling apart?
It got bad around season six. I stopped watching season six, I think. Oh, it's over now. It's over.
I know,
but it was like 10 seasons.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. 11,
I feel like the season finale of season seven, I believe, when they caught Negan, that should have been the end of the show. Series finale. Negan was the last main adversary they had. They bested him. Boom, you're done. But no, they kept it going for three more seasons.
Yeah, well, as you do.
Yeah.
Is Negan my boyfriend, Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yes.
Yes. And he is so hot.
I love him.
He's so hot.
Yes, he's gorgeous.
With that sexy, deep voice.
I know.
Oh,
speaking of voices,
bass.
Bringing us back in now.
Amy, we should have not made you the fact checker. We should have made you the wrangler.
The wrangler.
I can take a second title on. I have many hats. But really, there was a connection to, we get to Amy Allen as she's going through and she's quoting, you know, like, you lying bastard, you piece of shit. I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, she just...
I feel sick again. And I'm hearing, you lying bastard. You piece of shit. I'm gonna kill you.
Like, goes like a howl almost, like a long kill you. Yeah. And then I said, well, here I put, I'm like, sounds like the crazy guy might be the cop, the crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Dead guy ghost. Yep. We have another, we have one more person that we meet, which is Alisa Scalise Powell, genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
That's it. And she, just a quick breakdown, she brings us to talk about Hunt Miller. Hunt Miller, what a name.
I know.
What a name.
It sounds like a soap opera star.
Yeah.
It sounds like he should have like the third after him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that like this whole like all of these stories, because they were all so close to overlapping and stuff too, and so it's like you could have a series of all of them connecting.
Yeah,
but yeah, he takes over the property in 1920, but he was money and real estate and sports promotions and moving picture theaters, and like he was doing all the stuff. Mm-hmm. He was on the cutting edge, and he
skate.
Yeah, well,
the Duquesne Ice Gardens.
Yeah, the Duquesne Ice Gardens, which was part of the Amateur Hockey League. One of his downfalls was a scandal with that, which I was like, okay, I got to read what the scandal was. And it was that the amateur hockey players were actually getting paid.
Yeah.
Which was against the rule. Yeah. And I was like, so like, players aren't getting paid was the issue? Sounds like women's sports these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And
that's
how
true.
Is that a scandal, though?
But like, that's like, where I was really confused. I'm like, there's something more here.
Do you know what the word scandal means? Like, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah. But then it was, you know, he bought the property in 1920, but by 1923, he had gone bankrupt.
Yeah, that's not great.
And he owed, $350,000, which in today would be about $5 million. And here's where the next similarity comes into play. He takes his life by shooting himself in the chest in his bed.
Just like last week. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But then this is the spirit that seems, at least to me, that connection was, is he was the one who kept saying he thought he was part of a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So it sounded like Amy thinks that he thinks the demons collected him.
Oh.
Like he got into the depression. Like they fed on his seeds of darkness, as she called it in the reveal. And yeah, because she sees the crying man again. Mm-hmm. He's kind of small. She describes him.
I wrote, because she said it, he's kind of small.
Small?
Like he wrote it. She said it's so weird. So I wrote it down.
I did.
Phonetically, yeah. How she said it.
Small? I love how she says words funny.
I know.
I just think it's I know. Hilarious.
It's almost like she almost forgets how to say it, and then somebody else is telling her how to say it, and she repeats it. And
I think sometimes she's channeling and she's speaking the way that the person mm-hmm. speaks. But I think also sometimes she's like, I mean, I find myself doing weird accents every once in a while. Like I'll be like, that was weird.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's not how I normally say that was weird, but I'll just because I'm being goofy or whatever. Yeah. And I think that's what Amy does a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think people think that she's fucking weird because of it. I love it. I think it's
and maybe
adorable.
She is fucking weird, but I love it. Be weird.
Well, she's the kind of weird I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. As she was kind of describing, this is where I was like, is she describing two of the spirits? Because there's like, he was a bad guy and he cheated and he's saying I wasn't a good person and I fucked everybody over. But the other guy was the one who fucked his whole family over. And so it's like,
oh,
but
I thought she was talking about that guy.
I think she's talking about Hunt Miller because I think he feels guilty about leaving his wife and his son.
Destitute. Yeah.
Oh.
So he left, but she puts in there, he's crying and freaking out. And he thinks that he was a sacrifice to the demon things. So that's.
And I wonder if he died by suicide to try to get his wife and child money, like life insurance money. I know a lot of people do that.
In the way that she's reading it, as I was thinking that he was getting influenced, because in the 1920s, I don't know if there would have been much of a insurance clause as we're coming up to, well, this would have been still before the Great Depression, but this would have been, Prohibition time frame. Mm-hmm. So maybe there was also speakeasy type thing going on that he got caught with, because all of these sporting things don't usually happen out without at least a little alcohol around.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we get to our sketch artists. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of things here, but I think, Amy, you had.
I just had, I loved the guy's sweater. He was wearing this
I loved it.
This big chunky sweater that came down around his hands, like all the way to his mm-hmm. like his over his thumb. And it just looked like he looked comfy. Like so comfy and warm. Yeah.
Like I wanted, like he was right after he was done sketching, he was going to go curl up by a fire with a book.
I know. I love it. And then also I liked how Amy kind of corrected him. And when he when he turned the picture around and said, mm-hmm. Amy, is this what you saw or whatever? She was like, actually, his arms were a little bit, or his eyes or whatever she said, kind of corrected him. And she may have just been pointing at the sketch, but it kind of looked like she was actually like drawing on it, mm-hmm. like correcting it.
I think
it.
She did.
Maybe she did. I don't know.
And I noted that he was left-handed.
Whoop, whoop.
You know, it was interesting with that is you're calling that out. And I think in season 15, we never see her do that because I think they edit it to make it look like she's just saying, yep, that's what I saw.
That's what I saw.
And even maybe in season 14, they started doing it. But I feel like it was intentionally done by the producers.
It was season 14 for sure.
Early on, she was a lot more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. Or yes, that's it. Or yes, that's what I saw. But with more feeling, not just yes. That's what I saw.
Yeah. I think she got reined in pretty tight. Now we get to everybody's favorite part.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break.
Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Now we get to everybody's favorite part, the reveal.
The reveal!
And who is surprisingly missing from the reveal?
Was it surprising?
No.
That Josh wasn't there?
Josh was not there.
I was a little bit kind of surprised because I feel like in a lot of the older episodes, we did have more than two people show up to those reveals. But mm-hmm. I didn't, obviously, don't think that he wanted to be there.
No. He barely wanted to do the interview.
No, I'm surprised he did, actually, because when Steve said, are you pissed that we're here?
Mm-hmm. Annoyed. Yeah, are you annoyed?
Annoyed. Annoyed. Yep. You're right.
And even Diane was like, you can ask him. I don't know if he'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a wild card.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. And,
yeah. So we get Amy in sharing, which, you know, Steve's like, here's who brought us here. And these two ladies are tough, right?
You can tell because they have tattoos.
Is it because they're tattoo artists, Steve?
They didn't have tattoos. They wouldn't be tough because they're women. No.
Exactly. and so is their clientele. And everyone's scared. So it's got to be bad, you know? It's like, okay. Do we need to keep kicking that horse?
No. He's dead. Let's bury him.
Yep. Amy talks about in the upstairs middle room, the very conscious dead male there that kept telling her to get out and that he's completely insane and he has flares up of fits of anger and likes to stomp around and hit things and beat on the floors and throw a tantrum. And Diane and Shannon are kind of like, well, Josh kind of gets in fits of rages too. This is where we find out that they have to screw the paintings into the wall because they mm-hmm. don't stay on the wall.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just like they randomly fall off. They watched him, like Shannon and Diane have seen them lift up from being on the wall. So it's not like a door slams and they fall down.
Right. It's not like reverberation from anything else.
No, it's they are lifted up and drops.
Yeah. And then we kind of hear like Amy's tone of voice and everything is like she's very concerned about this crazy guy and how physical he's starting to get.
I want to get physical.
and Steve's like, now all the stuff that's happening to them is it this crazy guy?
Which, like, can we not use that word?
I know.
Not great, Steve.
Well, but Amy did call him the crazy guy throughout the whole, because that's how she dissected, like, the crazy guy and the crying guy. Because usually she gleans onto a couple of terms that identify those people.
I'll allow it because Amy did it.
Yeah.
But I'm watching you, Steve. Just kidding, I'm not.
I said it sounds like Amy's, what did I say? Oh, does it sound like him? It seems like the building demon seemed to have taken a hold of this guy, like he's cursed. And Amy doesn't seem terribly shocked about this guy until she finds out about his death. And then she's like,
She has the best facial expression.
I know.
Like, she could never play poker because every thought she has is on her face. Same with me. Yeah. But like, she could. Yeah. It's so fun to watch her in the reveal because she is. And maybe they're telling her to be very extra, but like, I don't think
I don't think so. I think that's her.
She's
and like when they say something, she's like, what?
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
I love it. I love her so much.
Yep.
She's so entertaining.
Please be our friend.
Please be our friend.
We're really nice.
Let's try not to be creepy.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of Amy, I don't know if we want to get this far down. I'm scrolling a bit. I might be good. Too far. But when they talk about how the guy shot himself and <I know. laughs> and she goes, whoops.
Whoops.
Whoops. Yep.
That he shot himself in the chest in 1926.
Whoops. That's an appropriate reaction to the guy shot himself in the chest.
Oh my God, I love her. Whoops.
And yeah, and then, you know, then it's the, so do you think this is the guy you ran into? And she's like, I mean, yeah, it sounds like him. And then she talks, then she jumps into describing the next guy. And why does Steve, like, she's reading off what sounds like could have been Steve's notes. And he goes, well, it's not a lot to go on.
How, Steven?
What else do you want? Do you want her to give you the names?
I was just going to. Do you want her to give you the names and birth dates and dates of death and cause of death and eye color and hair color and their favorite color? And like, what do you want? She can only do so much.
Right. He also did Keepers. This reminds me of, which AP pointed out last time that he does that sometimes. Oh, that reminds me of.
Yeah. Which makes it sound like it's something that you heard so long ago, not 2 days ago.
You know what? That reminds me, I was talking to my buddy Joe, and he was telling me about a guy, and that reminds me of him. But that's the best accent I could get. It will never be that good again. It will never be that good again.
Where did we get the picture of George Bennett, by the way?
From the first person he talked to about George. They did give that picture. I remember seeing it.
Okay.
And, he was like, I found this picture. Oh, you mean the person you talked to gave it to you?
I managed to track this one down.
Oh, it was given to you?
You managed to talk to somebody who tracked it down. Come on, Steve. Let's not overstate your process.
Your role in this. You talk to people who do the work for you and you just bring it. Like, it's like a group project and Steve comes in at the end and he's like, can you just put my name
on
it?
Here's what I did.
He doesn't even want to present his slides at the end.
You have to do his slide. And then he's like, oh, yeah. And then you can tell he's seen him for the first time in the presentation because he has no
onion.
Yeah.
Has layers.
Like an ogre.
And if you peel them back. Nobody likes an onion. It's like a parfait.
It's like a fruit parfait. You ever hear somebody say, I want an onion? Hell no. They want a fruit parfait.
And in the morning, I'm making waffles.
That's a Shrek reference.
Okay.
I love Shrek. God, I need to rewatch the Shrek movies. They're so good.
I missed the dress rehearsal. I didn't know that that we were like acting out something.
No, it's Shrek. Nice boulder. The longer we record, the gloopier we get.
Well, especially I'm done with my gin now.
Oof.
Shrek was in the New York Times crossword puzzle today.
Was it?
Yep.
What was the clue? A green ogre?
I don't remember. Something about
Mary Princess Fiona.
Something about an ogre. Yeah. And I was like, Disney ogre Shrek. Yeah, I got it.
He's not Disney.
Mm-mm. Oh, DreamWorks. Maybe it wasn't Disney. Oh, sorry. I don't want to mess that up.
No, they'll sue you.
Oh, the Shrek movies are so good, though.
They're so good. Yeah. God, I love them.
I would take Shrek over this guy, George, any day.
Yeah. Any day of the week.
Yeah. Yep. I did not like the sketch.
The sketch.
The face one didn't really scare me.
Did not look like him. They're like, oh, that's totally him.
Okay, thank you. I didn't think it looked like him that much either. The face shape.
Oh my God, it's so similar. I'm like, in what way? His like face is skinnier. His nose is weird. His lips are thin.
His hairline is similar.
And that's it. He doesn't have a beard.
Is completely wrong.
His face is so thin.
Eyes might be right, but he has all that facial hair.
It's also hard to tell because of how distant the photo is too. Yeah.
True. It's not a
I don't know. It just
face shot, headshot. Yeah.
Yeah. I just looks pretty close to me. No, it doesn't. The best similar, not pretty close.
Yep. This is where Amy was cracking me up because she was like, oh fuck yeah. And everything is with this guy and the demons.
Yeah. There was a lot of swearing in this episode. Maybe it's because they're tough.
Yeah. Obviously.
But there was Steve was saying fuck, and it was, asshole. There was a lot. Yep. Yeah, there was a lot of swears, which, you know, I appreciate. I'm happy with it. It's fine.
I hate that they bleep it out. Like, I know. Discovery, I know. I'm paying to watch you. Like,
yeah.
It's because it was edited for Travel Channel.
Yeah.
But it's not.
They should leave it in.
Yeah, but it was already done. They're not going to go back and redo it.
They should.
Well, they're not going to.
Get on the
girl,
stick.
They can't even pay to keep having the show on the air. So why are they going to go back and edit it?
I don't know. For me?
For me and me.
I did enjoy, as we learn about the building actually burning down, and Amy was surprised that the building had burned down. And she was like, oh. So these things did it.
I will say the newspaper article stated that there was $150,000 worth of damage. Adjusted for inflation, that's $3,383,611.
Yeah, holy, it sounded like it burned to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Steve said that, she goes, this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they had the picture of it, too. And so she pointed at the. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later on, they start talking more and more about the flare-ups and that Josh has bad days. And Amy's like, they've gleaned onto him.
Yep.
And they've got him. And then we start to see the last sketch, which
I hate.
Yeah.
Because it's scary, not because I don't like it.
The one that's curled up in the corner in the back is a person that's being attacked. It's not another demon back there. The three demons are in the front. Yeah.
I don't see. Why do I not see three demons?
It's because there's the big one, and then the other two look like they're being held by the scruff, but one doesn't have any. It just looks like
it's just featureless.
So does the big guy have one on each hand? Because I see something on one hand, but I don't see that it looks like. I'm gonna embiggen it.
What it looks like is like it's got two white eyes almost, and then it's just like it's kind of like Sheldon the turtle.
It looks like a baby bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that still has
the things from Sesame Street that go meet, 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 meet.
Okay.
Aliens from Sesame Street. But
aliens
creepy.
From Sesame Street.
But yeah. So to me, it just looked like the one big one is holding the other two. Like, come on, guys.
Okay. I did not realize that the one in the demon thing's right hand was another entity. I thought there was just like
the
shit hanging off his hand.
The left hand one is fucking creepy. It has the long hands. I don't like it.
No, that's very creepy.
It looks like a troll doll with no torso.
Can you imagine being Amy and having to see those?
No.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's
gross.
It's a really good but hideous sketch. Yes. And then when I screenshot it, it just says Diane
bleep.
In the closed caption, Diane bleep. Yep. We don't know what she said because they didn't show her face.
Probably
so
shit.
We don't know what she said. Probably oh shit or oh fuck. Yeah.
So then we get to the end here and Steve's like, show about all of this. It's just still safe to be here.
And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy.
And Amy's like, well, you can. You just have to go through. And she lists off a few things. Oop, there goes the camera.
Oh, no. Dad, put a camera back on.
Yep. Come on, Alan.
I hit the cord. Remember I told you that it's...
Oh, okay. Sorry, Dad. Wasn't you.
No, we didn't mean to blame you.
I did light my incense before I started.
Nah, I was having problems with it earlier.
Come on, baby, light my incense. That was the Doors, but I changed it from fire to incense.
Got it.
So she gives them a bunch of things to do. Find us a male medium who's strong to talk to and remove the crazy guy and the crying man. And then she said weekly cleansings for 3 months and then monthly cleansings for a year, which I was like, dang, that's like the most I feel like I've ever heard her prescribe.
That's a lot.
And I know that's not the
right
word.
She has said some that they have to keep doing it forever. For like ever.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
When Zoe, our patron, told us that I had a portal in my bathroom, she told me I have
and
to.
And not just the toilet.
Not just the toilet. No, it's the window. The windows. I always call them windows. I guess they kind of are windows.
To the walls.
Mirrors that are facing each other, which is a no-no.
A no-no.
I didn't do it. It was like that when we moved in. She told me that I had to smudge the bath. Not smudge, but you know. I mean, I feel like that's not the right terminology because I don't, whatever. But to, you know, do the incense around the corners of the chant that stuff and whatever. And I do that when Greg's not home because he makes fun of me.
Of course he does. Don't be mean, Greg.
I know. Does it hurt you to just shut the fuck up?
No, it doesn't.
So she told me that I should do it every 2 weeks. So I have a little reminder in my phone to do it every 2 weeks. And she didn't tell me when I can stop. So I just keep doing it.
You should ask
her. Almost a year now.
You should ask her.
Yeah. We do get an update on this one.
Yes, we do. Update, which is so nice. Oh, you have something?
I have something.
Okay.
So when they talked about the demon things, she was like, the negative demons are always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, why can't they do like an exorcism or something similar to get the demons out? I don't understand why they couldn't do that.
I don't know.
To me, that was weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if because they're intertwined with each other that there's...
But they're not like attached to anybody now.
But it would have, like, because they can freely go. Right? Like, they could leave if they wanted to. But they're just there. They're not interested in anyone. I think, theoretically, anybody who's possessed.
I
was going with that. Their energies are intertwined with each other. So it would make them much more difficult and probably just do a lot of pissing off.
Maybe. I just thought it was weird that they couldn't do that.
I don't think an exorcism is the answer for everything.
But maybe with demons. I mean, not the answer to like, you know, my stomach hurts, but maybe there's a demon in my house. I feel like could be a potential answer to that.
Okay. Potential.
Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there. My two cents.
Throw that up.
Do what you want with it. Throw it back.
Yeah, we do get an update.
Two months later.
That we get a video update that and it shows them going around doing a version of their cleansings and they've followed Amy's instructions and things have been great. So obviously they got in contact with somebody right away to come and remove the gentleman that didn't need to be there anymore. And as long as they don't piss off the demons, they're fine.
Yeah.
Because the demons don't mind them.
Can you imagine just living every day, not living because they don't live there, but going to work every day and being like, well, there are demons here, but they're okay with me right now. Let's just hope I don't fuck that up.
It's called a toxic work environment.
Yeah. Except you can't fire them. HR can't do anything about it.
HR doesn't do anything about a lot of those toxic
people
anyway.
They don't do anything anyway.
It's not that easy. There's a lot of steps. We can't get sued.
Because I always thought HR was there to help the employees, and it is abso-fucking-lutely not.
That's the gin talking. Just kidding.
And
Amy gets mean when she's on the gin.
Yeah.
Or she gets funny. And then we also find out that things are better with Josh at that. That's kind of all we know.
That's what they say.
He wasn't in the reveal shock or the update.
Right.
Weird.
And then AP found a little extra.
Yeah. You know, just kind of searching around and, you know, maybe it's just something somebody never updates on Facebook. But it did say, you know, I did happen to look for. I just put in the city name and dead files and tattoo parlor and found the tattoo parlor, found the owner. I won't say her last name, but. When I searched for her, I was like, oh, she's on Facebook. Oh, she's single. So this did come out 4.5 years ago. We know lots of things have happened since then. You know, so who knows?
Yeah. I did reach out. I found them on Facebook, too. I did a Google search for...
I do hope we get to chat with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a search for Tattoo Parlor, Pittsburgh, Dead Files. And I found a Facebook post from the Tattoo Parlor on their Facebook page saying, we're going to be on the Dead Files. So that's mm-hmm. how I knew I was in the right place.
Yeah. Nice.
And then, so then I just followed the links to their website, looked at their website. I didn't see Shannon, Diane, or Josh's name on the website. So then I was like, is it the right one? So I just sent an email to them and said, hey, we're going to cover your episode this week when we record. If you would like to come on and give us an update, we would love it. And I said, if you would prefer to wait until we have done our episode and then hear what mm-hmm. we have to say about it before you decide, we can do that. So,
yeah. I don't know, and maybe... I did see her on Instagram as well. And she it does say that she's still a co-owner of the shop.
I looked at her Instagram and I looked at the Instagram of the company and their tattoos are really beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And I was looking at them the other night and I was showing them to Greg and I'm like, I really want another tattoo. Me too.
Mm-hmm. I love my decoration, built-in decoration that I have.
I finally got to see those in person on Friday mm-hmm. night. Beautiful.
And I just want more. Mm-hmm. So, well, kids.
All right. I think we're done.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's time to wrap it up.
Look at that.
All right. So.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
Next week, we will be covering Amy's choice of the Dead Files, Never Alone, which is season 2, episode 11. Forrester, Michigan, originally aired January 31st of 2013. And from the Travel Channel, it says Steve and Amy investigate reports of terrifying paranormal encounters at a home in Forrester, Michigan. While Steven uncovers two deadly fires that devastated an entire town, Amy tries to fight off a vicious entity. So
I just showed you how Amy was fighting him off, if you could see the video.
She was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, she was.
Yep.
Everybody
was.
Those cats were fast as lightning. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
So join us next week. We can't wait to see you all back.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.